CFO Journals, a strategic planning podcast by Prevedere, is the place for candid conversations about business planning and forecasting using AI and predictive analytics in order to provide more clarity in a time of uncertainty. Let's dive in.
Welcome to CFO Journals, and thank you, Max, for joining us today.
Thank you, Rich, for inviting me.
Yeah, well, we appreciate you taking the time in these volatile, you know, times that we have today, but with all the external economic forces currently at play, you know, this is an extremely timely conversation, and your insights and experience will certainly be valuable to our listeners. Could you give us an overview of your background and experience?
Oh, yeah, sure. So I am I'm an accountant by training, starting my career with PricewaterhouseCoopers, then moved to different conglomerates. Primarily, that way I did all my career, started with General Electric in the real estate business, then with Honeywell and United Technologies. Today, I'm with Otis as a CFO for the market group of the UK and the Nordic countries that covers Sweden, Norway, Finland, Denmark, and the Baltics, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia. And moved to different roles within finance that covered corporate audit, internal controls, controllership, FP&A, and CFO.
Wow, quite a diverse background of finance experience, which is great. And with the current climate in Europe, UK, and Eastern Europe, I bet your job's got more interesting by the day. Now, that's some current issues, but also I wanted to talk about the last 2 years, you know, with the pandemic and maybe how that really changed the way that you operate or just your experience leading finance team during a global pandemic like that. Could you tell us a little bit about how things changed and your experience during that time?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. And you're right. You know, the last 2 years have been a real test for all organizations across the globe. In Europe in particular, we went through different phases of lockdown like the rest of the world, but also, you know, because we operate across different jurisdictions, you also have to deal with the differences in regulation and timing of opening and closing that happen across different countries. What is also very interesting for us is that Otis used to be part of the United Technology Group, and it was announced that Otis was going to be spin out, like the rest of the commercial organization, is to become an independent company, and that happened on the 5th of April 2020, which was right at the beginning of the pandemic. So that added some very interesting twist to my role within the countries that I was covering. And so as well as dealing with the challenges of the pandemic, we had to also step up to the added requirement of being an independent company, a listed company. We in the UK were closer now to the mother company with all these extra requirements that come from being part of a listed group. So that added some extra challenges to my scope, to my role, but made it very interesting as well.
Yeah. You know, a divestiture during that time and preparing for it sounds difficult. And, you know, specifically, I wanted to talk about forecasting a little bit because that's what we specialize in, helping companies do. But how did you go about adjusting kind of, you know, for demand for what you guys do and maybe even services for what you do during the pandemic? You know, what changed or did it change?
You know, there's really no blueprint for dealing with what happened in the pandemic. Although, you know, very interesting, I was reading a book recently, and one of the learning is most leaders, most people, because they have not lived a certain experience during their lifetime, don't have any reference. But actually, everything that we went through had happened in a way or another in the past. So for me, it was really about trying to find some reference, even if there was no reference immediately available. But one could look through history, through some of the past crises, and, you know, trying to find some anchor to any analysis that we could be doing. So that was really key for me in the exercise that I was conducting. So when it comes to forecasting, it was analyzing the impact of the situation of the pandemic on the different part of the business, because we operate through different cycles. Our new equipment organization had constraints that might be different from some of our service organization. It was also understanding where our customers were. Some customers obviously were offering essential services like hospitals, some hospitalities as well. So depending on the sectors, you know, the challenges were different. So it's always about adapting to that, understanding the dynamic on the market, and really updating our forecasting to those challenges.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And I think, you know, although we all think about the commercial office closures, and maybe that slowed down some of the services around elevators and you know, just people not being there. But on the opposite side, as you talked about, it was so mission critical that hospitals were operating as efficiently as they could. So that probably caused a different demand.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, as far as the team, I don't know, you know, how you guys operated from a corporate standpoint, but how did leading the finance team change? Did you guys go remote? Did that propose any or introduce any challenges? Was there difficulty, you know, communicating across the org, or did it stay the same that you were working in office?
No, absolutely. So for my team specifically, you know, it was a real challenge. Now we have the bulk of our finance team in Leicester here in the UK, and when the lockdown started to happen, it was also at the time when we had to prepare for our first quarter close under an independent Otis. So it was the challenge of setting everybody to be able to work remotely, making sure that we hit our deadlines and deliver quality service that is required for the type of organization that we are. And I have to say the team responded tremendously well. You know, people were, you know, whether it's in the billing team or the account payables or the FP&A or the general accounting, everybody responded very well, depending on the type of tasks that they had to provide. And we adapted to that remote way of working with managers, making sure that they are constantly in touch with their team to provide the motivation, to support them where it's needed. It was important also that we had the infrastructure and the support from our IT team to make sure that the connectivity is in place, despite the challenges of people having to wrestle with their own individual and personal life, with children being at home, some of the parents having to homeschool their children. So it's about being flexible and providing that space to employees to be able to operate as effectively as possible under the circumstances.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Now, a lot of organizations, you know, were strained and stretched, as you mentioned, childcare. It made me think of, you know, the resignations that had happened at some organizations, you know, due to some of these external factors. Is that something that you guys had to deal with? And if so, do you have any advice, you know, how to retain talent or attract talent during this time?
I think, and everyone can relate to that, what the pandemic brought to everyone is a different perspective and a different way of seeing things. You know, personally, I was hit with COVID in the first few months of the pandemic, and it was a time when there was no vaccine. There was a lot of uncertainty around the illness and what it caused. So there was a lot of anxiety also coming with that. So when you come out of that experience, you have a different perspective and a different way of approaching things. And I think that's a lot with most employees. Having gone through 2 years of working remotely, also that reduced the time of commute, and people have been able to replace that with different activities. So it's a bit challenging going back, and people want things different in their life. So I think for employers, it's about adapting to that. At the end of the day, we want to provide meaningful work to employees so that they can marry that with a meaningful life. And providing them with the structure, the infrastructure, the flexibility to be able to do that is essential. And that's something that we have been great in doing, adapting very quickly to the demand of the employees, offering that flexible working to the team, and really helping and providing the support when it's needed.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And you know, I'm going to shift gears back to the forecasting and planning process. One thing that we've noticed, of course, is companies are looking for external clues and signals that they can incorporate into their planning process about the economy and consumer behavior changes and geopolitical events and now gas prices and labor market imbalance. Do you think that there's a lasting impact on the forecast and planning process post-pandemic of something that's changed that will continue?
I think there's something certainly in the approach for professionals, finance professionals in particular, in the way of what is possible, whether worst case scenario or best case scenario. What the pandemic offered is I would say removing the barrier of the possibilities. No, I don't think most people could imagine seeing major streets in the world being completely empty and everybody being locked down at home. I mean, before 2022, that never crossed my mind. I don't think crossed mind of most people. Few people were interested in the topic, maybe could imagine it, but I don't think most people could. And a lot of businesses disappeared through that. So when you are preparing your forecasting, you need to be able to integrate these kind of possibilities around the worst case scenario. And at the same time, we experience that what is possible also is limitless. You know, there are a lot of activities people could not imagine being done remotely. The new industry that developed through remote organization, you know, podcasting in the past was a lot in person. A lot of trainings had to be taken in classroom. A lot of team meeting has to be done in person. But we discovered through the pandemic that a lot of that could be done online and save travel time and travel cost for most organizations. And even some activities on industry that was not imagined became possible during the last 2 years. So the limit of what is possible, I think, has been expanded. And going into forecasting, ones need to have that in mind. The worst case can be really worse. The best case can also be very good. So, you know, within that space, one has to use the judgment and the data available to prepare the best forecast and the best plan.
Yeah, I think, you know, what we've seen is scenario planning, that you no longer have a single point forecast. You know, this business unit's going to grow by 10%, that a lot of our customers are having, you know, maybe three, you know, different cases. Here's what we think the baseline may be. Here's what we think the pessimistic and the optimistic would be. And it feels like that's going to continue. So I would agree there. Do you think there are some things that finance teams do today that should be kind of stopped, or they, you know, that they need to change that they haven't yet?
I think there have been the trend over the recent years, I would say, especially in the space of FP&A, becoming more and more business partnering. And I think that way of working with the rest of the organization has to accelerate. And, you know, especially during the pandemic, it was clear that being close to understanding the dynamic in the operation was key. And I think that collaboration also need to be strengthened in the other area of finance, whether it's in tax or treasury or accounting, understanding what is behind the numbers. And developing that close relationship with the rest of the organization will make the role of finance even more valuable. And we'll be able to provide that that advice and guidance that the organization need. And for CFO in particular, I think, you know, the role of CFO has evolved a lot over the past years, you know, being really the sparring partner to the CEO, providing that strategic guidance. And, you know, something that's close to myself is the leadership, you know, the people side of things. And it could be seen that finance is a bit not very much involved into all these human aspects. But I think that what we've seen with the pandemic is everything is surrounded around people. And even for finance team, having that people aspect in the middle is going to be key and something to work on over the coming years.
Yeah, I think, you know, it really feels like that finance isn't just a back office accounting function, you know, that it's a necessary thing to do and transact, that we've seen a lot of our finance teams become better business partners and provide external insights across the organization to kind of open up communication about where the numbers are or where they think they're going. And it feels like that's a great trend. So I would agree with both those. And then, you know, is one other question I'll ask you is if you were to think about your career as a finance professional in particular, is there something that you're most proud of in your career? What would that be?
I think to me, you know, when you're engaged in a career, you know, I came into finance, if I think back, when I graduated from high school and I was looking what to do for my university years or college, as you call it in the US, I didn't know about accounting, to be honest. I was looking to go to a particular school, and I did not make it into that. So I was a bit disappointed. And I felt a bit it was unfair because, you know, I felt that, you know, that's something that I did well, that I could get into that. And a friend of my dad said he was an accountant, and he recommended to me to do some accounting studies. And I said, well, what is accounting and what's that? And he said, you know, go for it and you will enjoy it and you will see it's going to be rewarding. And so I started taking the accounting exams, and I was always trying to get out of it. But what I would say being proud of is the fact that I've been able to grow into that space, do all the roles within accounting, to be honest, within finance. I started doing the bookkeeping entries in my first role with Pricewaterhouse, then moving to auditing, you know, doing the internal controls roles, corporate audit role with Honeywell, and all the FP&A and global controller roles that I assignment that had before taking the finance director's role and CFO today. I think it's the growth that I've been able to enjoy over the past 20 plus years, and seizing the opportunities, traveling and working across different geographies across the world, that has been really rewarding.
Yeah. No, well, great. Well, it's you know, great to see your career progression and the responsibilities you had continue to increase. I really wanted to say thanks for taking the time today and what I'm sure is a very busy time for you still. And we really enjoyed having you and look forward to you talking to you in the future, Max.
Anytime, Rich. It was a really pleasure to having this conversation with you. And I think you're doing a really good job at Premier Dairy. And, you know, data to me is at the heart of everything, you know, especially as a finance professional, you know, data is what helps us make sense of what's going on in the organization and providing the support and the advice and direction that the organization needs. So thank you for doing your work.
Yeah, we appreciate it. I love working with you guys, our finance leads as well. So thank you, Max. Take care.
Thank you. Bye now.
You've been listening to CFO Journals, a Prevett Airy podcast. Keep connected with us by subscribing to the show in your favorite podcast player. Please give us a rating, leave a comment, and share episodes you love. That helps us keep bringing you actionable conversations from finance industry leaders. Thank you for listening. Until next time.